You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it, whether you're committed to a thru hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more. It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. Long time no see, I know, because I just came on here and talked about some preseason stuff yesterday, but I'm back. I'm here with my guy, rejoined by DJ Drew Johnson. You can find both of us on X, myself at Dalton underscore Trigg and DJ at Coach Drew 33. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. Really helps us out. If you don't mind taking just, 5 to 10 seconds to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, like I said, it really helps us out. It helps us continue to grow and to bring you the best Mavs content we know how, when we get on here and record. So if you don't mind doing that, we greatly appreciate it. And then you can also subscribe to our Substack just by using your email to sign up for that if you want to have access to some written content that we do sporadically, throughout the season, and exclusive content and all that. So be sure to go do that as well. DJ, I'm going to get your thoughts on, some of the preseason stuff at the tail end of this pod. Some of the stuff I've already talked about yesterday. But the biggest reason we're back on here today is because we had some big news yesterday. Jason Kidd, he has signed yet another contract extension. I think it's literally a year, maybe a little over a year, from when he signed his last one, which goes to tell you, it's like when teams are trying to pry your head coach away, because the previous time it was the Lakers that had interest, he got a contract extension. Now it's been the New York Knicks that were trying to get Jason Kidd hired away, and he didn't leave, and now he's got another contract extension. So we don't know the full extent of the details of how long this contract extension is, but we know it'll at least go through the 2027-28 season, which would take him through the end of Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis's contracts if they were to accept their player options at the end of those. So Jason Kidd, he's going to be around for a while. I've got the official press release pulled up here now if you're watching on YouTube or on our Substack. But let's see here. So there's a quote from Patrick DeMont who said, "Our entire organization deeply appreciates Coach Kidd's leadership, focus, and positive energy. His achievements on the basketball court as a player and coach are well documented, but I know the most important thing to Jason is his ability to have a positive impact on people's lives, and specifically young people. Coach Kidd embodies everything our organization wants in a leader, and I am happy he will be here for many years to come. We are confident that he will continue to lead our team in a thoughtful and principled manner as we pursue our goal of bringing championships to the city of Dallas." Okay, and then there's another quote there. Should I read the Nico quote or not, DJ?
I don't really care what he has to say, but you can.
We'll read Nico's quote here. Nico says, "Jason Kidd's basketball resume is one of the best in the game, and through every situation he has proven he's the right person to lead the Mavericks. He has a track record of developing some of the best talent in the league, as well as the ability to connect with players to bring out the best version of themselves. Jay is the perfect head coach to lead this team to championship contention now and for years to come. And then obviously we have Jason Kidd in this press release giving his thoughts on it too. Kidd says, I'm grateful for the belief that Patrick and Nico have in me and the trust we've built while working together to construct a team that Dallas can be proud of. We have a great group of players here who love basketball, are talented and coachable. There's mutual respect across all departments, and Patrick and Nico set the tone for what we are trying to accomplish here. It's even more special that I can continue to coach the team that drafted me and where I was able to win a title as a player. I'm looking forward to what's ahead and continuing to work toward bringing another championship back to Dallas. So, all in all, I mean, it's typically what you expect from a, you know, a press release like that. A lot of talk of championships, a lot of, you know, talking about the culture and Jason Kidd and his accomplishments and everything. And look, I get it. People have been critical of Jason Kidd over the years. We have at times. I mean, there are times where he can do some head scratching stuff, especially with not calling timeouts. And, you know, he likes to experiment a lot, especially in the first half of a season, which it works out good if you make the playoffs later, because, you know, he has stuff figured out by then and he's a great playoff head coach. But he wastes so much time doing the tinkering at the beginning that it leaves the Mavs in a situation where they don't have the greatest regular season record. And that's where he gets, you know, a lot of criticism. But all things considered, DJ, we got to give him his flowers. The dude has been a great coach overall. You know, I'm looking at the stats here right now. In the last 5 years, since he was hired in the 2021-22 season, Jason Kidd has the 10th most wins out of any other head coach in the league. And, you know, only 10 wins separate him from 10th spot to the 4th spot, which is Mark Daigneault for OKC. So considering that there have been two seasons where the Mavs haven't made the playoffs, considering last season where, you know, he had his franchise cornerstone traded away, and even before that and after that, all the injuries that that team went through, and yet he's still that high on that list, he's doing something right. And all the players, you never hear any complaints from any players about Jason Kidd, ever. You'll hear it from Twitter. You'll hear it from Mavs Twitter, but you will never hear any kind of complaints coming from the players when it comes to Kidd. So there's something to be said for that. And as they say, the proof is in the pudding. So he's been really good. I think he deserves his flowers. I think a lot of people were wrong, you know, who were very critical of the hiring of him at the time, saying that he wouldn't pan out. And I mean, look, it was warranted given his last couple stops with Brooklyn and Milwaukee, but he has really done a fantastic job. And I think he is the right coach for this team for the foreseeable future. Thoughts?
No, I agree. You know, he's already shown the ability to be incredibly, I want to say competent, but competent's kind of an understatement whenever he has a solid roster. And truthfully, you know, the rosters that he's had in the past have not exactly been what he would prefer. What Jason Kidd would prefer would be very similar to what we have right now, you know, minus not having a true point guard, you know, until Kyrie Irving gets back. But it'll be very interesting to see what he does this year whenever Irving finally does return, because I think that that roster is going to closely mirror his ideal roster. And that is a roster that is stocked full of elite level defenders. So it'll be really interesting to see what he can do with, you know, something that is close to his actual preference as a coach, because as coaches, we all have our ideal roster. The thing about it is it's very hard to assemble those rosters at all levels. So it'll be interesting to see what he's able to do with, you know, a team that closely fits his vision and his coaching philosophy. Yeah. But as far as giving his flowers are concerned, you know, I've been critical of him at times. He really pissed me off that time whenever we were playing the Clippers. I can't remember where in the playoffs that was. It may have been the semis, Western semis. Was it the Western semis?
Which you talking about? Yeah. It was the first round last year.
It was the first round. Okay. Well, he pissed me off whenever he was literally giving James Harden his left hand. I couldn't understand that. But, you know, all in all, I've been very pleased with him. And I do think that he's the right man for the job moving forward, especially if we decide to, you know, go more so with Cooper Flagg's timeline and get younger. I think that Kidd does a wonderful job developing players, and given our youth situation and where this team is supposedly trending, where I expect it to trend ultimately towards more youth, I think he's the right guy for the job.
And look, and I mean, look, you have been a coach before. You have been in a locker room, and you know how difficult it is to keep everybody on the same page, and, you know, to keep any kind of, you know, potential locker room issues from coming, you know, stuff of that nature. It's hard. I mean, it's baffling to me that this gets overlooked so much when it comes to Kidd, because yeah, the X's and O's are one thing, but I don't think, other than maybe the Christian Wood stuff, you know, early in Kidd's time in Dallas, mm-hmm. aside from that, and I really don't even think that was as much of an issue as what the media made out, but aside from that, I don't know that he's had any sort of locker room issues with his teams. I feel like he's kept pretty much everyone in line. I think everyone genuinely likes being around each other and playing for him. And that stuff goes, you know, what's the word? They don't, it doesn't get credited enough. You know, the job he does keeping everybody on the same page. Yeah, and like I said, you've been there and you know how tough that is. So, I mean, you can speak to that more than I can.
It's definitely an unsung talent to be able to keep people together, especially during the rigors of a basketball season. Look, I coached college ball. We had, you know, around 25 games a season. It was still long, okay? These people are playing almost three times that. I can't even imagine. So, they have to be that much closer to be around each other that much for that long out of the year. And so, I mean, that really does, it speaks to kids' ability to put out fires and to not let, you know, little things become big things and keep the main thing the main thing. But I think it also speaks to the quality of guys that the Mavs have been able to bring in over the years. And, you know, again, aside from the Christian Wood situation, as far as I can tell, everyone's usually on the same page. And that's why the whole thing, whenever, you know, Luka got traded, a lot of the things that were said were kind of shocking to me, because all those guys were close and all those guys were still close. Luka sent out a message after he got traded telling his teammates that he loved them. So that doesn't tell me there's anything going on in the locker room. Otherwise, that's not the reaction you would have gotten.
That was a personal thing between Nico and Luka, and that was it. That was
it. I agree. I think the real issues are in the front office in terms of personality clashes, and those things need to be addressed. But no, as far as locker rooms are concerned, Kidd's done an excellent job, and really the players have done an excellent job as well.
Yeah, when the Luka trade happened, my initial thoughts, like in the I'd say maybe the month following that trade, my initial thoughts were there's absolutely no way Jason Kidd couldn't have known about this. Like there's no way he couldn't have known. But I've changed my stance on that then. I don't think he did. I think one person knew about it, or two people knew about it. It was Nico and Rob Pelinka. Yep. And I think, you know, you can go back and look at those that first press conference they did, or only press conference they did after the Luka trade. And Kidd, you go back and look at it now, and he is very visibly distressed
and angry. Listen, that is the face of someone, and you know, I don't want to, you know, cause any professional tension between Kidd and Nico, but Kidd's face during that interview was the face of someone who wanted to take someone out back and drop kick them. That's what that face is. I know that face.
Yeah, he was very. He was just like, "Oh man, this is not good."
He was upset. He was angry, and I think he was also angry at some of the narratives being spun, and some of the things that happened being misrepresented. I think that he was also very upset with that.
I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole here, but you want to know one of my personal favorite conspiracy theories or NBA conspiracy theories are right now?
What's that?
When Luka got traded, and obviously you can see Kidd, he seemed like he was distressed by it and all that stuff. So when that happened and that season looked like it was doomed anyway, I feel like Kidd was already starting to put out feelers like for his next gig, which is why all the New York Knicks stuff came about. Mm-hmm. The rumors, but he didn't bank on the Mavs winning the lottery. So let's build off this.
So he was gone. Okay, he was a Knickerbocker coach. Okay, until Adam Silver gave the Mavs the guarantee that they would win the lottery. And he was like, "All right, I'll stick around for Cooper Flag."
Yeah, I feel like that's. I mean, look, we don't know for sure, but I like to think that Kidd was already planning his exit strategy. And then when the Mavs won the lottery, he was like, "Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is my Tim Duncan moment here. Yeah. You know?
Lock me in, baby."
He's done a great job. I mean, all joking aside, all annoyances every now and then aside, he really has done a great job. And he was, I mean, looking back, it was a great hire. I mean, there was a lot of skepticism, and he's been through a lot, you know. And look, I get it. A lot of that success is tied to Luka because he was such a generational talent. But, you know, he's had to go through some stuff without Luka too. And I think, you know, keeping the team together through those times, there's a lot to be said for that too. And we'll see how he does this year too, because obviously – as good as Cooper Flagg is, he's not on Luka's level just yet. But, you know, I do think from what we've seen so far, he can be a day one superstar. And I think he fit. And I'm not saying Luka wasn't a Kidd player, but I think Cooper Flagg is more of the perfect type of superstar or potential superstar player that Kidd is looking for, you know, a real two-way star, you know. And we saw Luka make strides on the defensive end for the last couple years, but still, like, it's a different story with Cooper Flagg when it comes to the defensive end of the court.
Well, let's just say this. Luka is a top three player in the NBA, okay? To say that he's not anybody's player is a fallacy. But another thing can be true. Remember what I said earlier with Kidd finally having a roster that semi-represents his ideal vision as a coach? You can still have Luka as, you know, a top three player in the NBA and him not quite fit the mold of what Kidd's ideal roster is. And that's okay. I bet Kidd would still take Luka tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
here's another question I want to just throw at you real quick. Luka, obviously, he's currently the better player. He has more years under his belt, more experience. You know, he can handle the ball. He's probably the greatest offensive talent we've ever seen, or one. Yeah. You know, he's definitely top five all time, in my opinion, offensively. But who do you think? And I know we have to factor in potential for Flag because he hasn't actually played a real game yet. Who would you think is easier to build around, though, Luka or Cooper Flag?
Oh, hell.
I'm not saying Cooper Flag is better than Luka. I'm just saying, given overall like abilities and potential for Flag and what he could be as a two-way superstar, who is easier to build around?
I don't think we can answer that question yet. I think we need about 2 or 3 years before we answer that question. I want to know what both guys look like in their prime. Right now, you see Luka in his prime, and he's pretty good. Like, as in, might be the best player in the league right now. Good.
Like I saw I needed to see last night. He does all the things that Fat Luka used to do, only better.
He can stay healthy. He is the best player, and that's the only thing that's keeping him from being up there with, or above Jokic or Giannis or SGA. You know, the health thing is the only thing keeping him from being the top player in the league, in my opinion. So
I agree.
We'll see. He seems to be in the best shape of his life. We'll see if he can hold up through an 82-game season plus playoffs if they make it there, but that's the only thing keeping him there. But and look, I don't bring up that question as any sort of dig at Luka. No. I'm just saying, you know, I feel like if you have, like if Cooper, let's say Cooper Flagg reaches his potential on the offensive end. Because defensively, we can say potential. He is going to reach his potential defensively.
Yeah.
The tools are there. The instincts are there. It's unbelievable. He does not look like an 18-year-old, and it baffles me. It blows my mind what I've seen so far just in preseason games from an 18-year-old. Like he still has room to grow physically too, and he's already like he's not physically mature, but he's way more physically mature than what you see from most 18-year-olds. So no doubt he's going to be sound defensively. He's probably going to be very sound offensively too. So if you have a guy that can be a star on both ends of the court, he has a high effort level, you know, he's a superstar, but he has the energy and the motor of like, say, a TJ McConnell type guy. I just feel like that kind of star is so easy to build around instead of having like Luka, who is supremely talented, the best offensive player in the league, arguably. But then you're building your roster around a guy like that, and it's like, well, I need a two-way shooting guard. I need 2 through 5 to all be two-way guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's the only reason I bring that question up. It's not a dig at Luka. I just think fundamentally speaking, you might have an easier time building around a guy like Flagg if he reaches his potential.
No doubt that Flagg will be or is and will be a better defender than Luka Doncic. I just don't know if Flagg will be good enough offensively to even scratch what Luka is offensively.
And he might not, but again, I think where you fill in the roster around him,
yeah,
I feel like it could. You can probably generate. I don't think it's going to be so big of a gap offensively that you can't, you know, fill in easier around you offensively, around Cooper Flagg offensively to make up for it. Is all I'm saying.
Well, you know? Yeah, no, and that makes sense because, you know, if you're building a team, you want as many well-rounded players as possible. And Luka is very, very, very much so an offensive player, whereas Cooper Flagg is probably more well-rounded and will be more well-rounded ultimately. I just don't know. It's kind of like asking if you would rather build around, say, LeBron James or – so here's the issue. We really don't have anyone to compare Cooper Flagg to. I don't have anybody that I can think of.
I don't know. I don't know, man. Kendrick Perkins said that Cooper Flagg is the white LeBron James the other day. So that may be a bad thing.
We don't talk about him here. We don't talk about Kendrick Perkins here. That's illegal. Anyway, first of all, no. No, I love Cooper Flagg, but do you remember LeBron in high school?
I do.
I remember LeBron in high school.
There's a reason he was called the chosen one. And it's so crazy that he lived up and exceeded the hype. That's so crazy looking back. Yeah,
I do not see the LeBron James comparison. But again, what do we have? Who have we seen in the NBA right now that is offensively sound, great fundamentally, very athletic?
Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum are two that come to mind.
He's better than Kawhi Leonard offensively. It's not even close. He's got way more weapons. He handles the ball better. I think he's better in the post. I just think he's better than Kawhi Leonard offensively. Now, defensively, prime Kawhi was a monster. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll and look, see. I don't like comparing Flagg to Jason Tatum just because I still have feelings about Tatum and those that Celtics team that
no, he's not,
beat us
he's
in the finals last year. But Tatum is one of Flagg's idols. So, I mean, you have to believe that he has taken something. You can see a little bit of Tatum in his game. I mean, I have eyeballs. I can see it. But Flagg is a lot bigger than Tatum, too.
Yeah, he does the size ups. I apologize for my daughter, guys. She wants me to go put Bluey on the television.
It's my fault for mentioning Kendrick Perkins. Every time that happens, babies cry. Like, it's...
And for good reason, my inner child weeps. Anyway. it's just hard to figure out what a good comparison to Cooper Flagg might be to really give us a better idea of what his ceiling actually is. Now, I will say, I was pleasantly surprised in the preseason with his ability to handle the ball in traffic and handle the ball against smaller guards that are really pesky. Most notably, Kirk Henderson actually covered this about a week or two ago. It was probably a week ago, where he was breaking down the matchup between Cooper Flagg and Cason Wallace from OKC. And Cason Wallace is one of the best ball hounds in the league right now, I'd say. He's great defensively. One of the best defensive guards in the league.
Oh, yeah. He's tenacious, dude.
And Cooper did a good job of feeding him off. Cooper did a good job of still being able to execute with him all over him. And that is what I was afraid of. I remember us talking about it pre-draft. I was really concerned about the prospect of him running point guard because I wasn't sure how he was going to handle it against small guards.
Yeah.
Well, he put that to bed for me pretty much.
I'm not comparing Flagg to previous Mavs stars, but I remember when we had that conversation, we were talking about how that 2007 Golden State Warriors team, the We Believe Warriors, gave Dirk fits in that first round because they were putting smaller, athletic, quick guys on, like Jason Richardson and Matt Barnes and guys like that. They were sticking on Dirk and it was giving him problems. And I think what we've seen so far from Flagg is that kind of stuff doesn't bother him at all. And that's a good thing to see.
Well, okay, I'm going to nerd out for a second. But if you look at him in the way that he handles the ball, he actually gets low, and he gets lower to the point of the defender. He gets his shoulders low, and he's able to keep his body in between him and the defender, and that's able to protect the ball.
Yeah.
And that's just not something you see 6'9", 6'10", people doing. They usually have stiff back because they're so freaking tall. This guy's actually able to get low to the ground, which is super unique for a guy that size to be able to handle the ball in that position because it's typically incredibly uncomfortable. Hell, it's uncomfortable for me to get that low. I'm only, 5'11", 6 feet tall. So I can't imagine. So, it really just speaks to his ability level. And he handles the ball much better than I previously thought, much better than we thought he could do at Duke. Yeah. And which leads me to my next point. Duke doesn't use their people to the best of their ability, but I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to piss anybody off, but that's the Tar Heel in me.
Yeah, ignore the North Carolina roots coming out of DJ there. But I mean, look, I agree. We've seen it several times where, players leave from Duke and they end up being way better than what they even, showed at Duke. So
yeah, there's another guy on our team that did the exact same thing. I know he was hurt at Duke. I know. Okay, I get it. We're just going to have to stop it there. We can't. Yeah. I'm going to piss people off.
Another guy I didn't mention was Steven Jackson on that We Believe Warriors team. That was an annoying, pesky Warriors team. And then you had Don Nelson getting revenge against his former team. Oh, it was horrible. Anyway, I can't dwell on it too much because it still hurts my soul. My soul thinking about that. I was at your house. I stayed at your house for like a week during that series, and I just remember like almost crying because of how it ended. It was so – I couldn't believe what was happening.
I'll tell you who played his ass off, though. I'll tell you who played his ass off. Jerry Stackhouse. You know where Jerry Stackhouse went to school, boys? North Carolina. We get ours.
I still have an old Stackhouse jersey somewhere. I still have a old Josh Howard jersey somewhere.
Dude, Josh Howard was a dog.
He was
so good. He was so good. His son's playing now. Can you believe how old we are?
We're getting up there, man. It's pretty sad, but here's the thing. Going back to Jason Kidd, I know we kind of went down a rabbit hole there with Cooper Flagg, but going back to Jason Kidd, if the trend continues going into this next season, DJ, the Dallas Mavericks will be the 2026 NBA champions. You know why? Because in 2022, so Kidd was hired for the 21-22 season. That season, they made it to the Western Conference Finals. The next season, they missed the playoffs. That was, you know, they lost Jalen Brunson. They traded for Kyrie Irving. It didn't gel. They missed the playoffs. The following season, they made it to the NBA Finals, lost to the Boston Celtics. Now, this past season, they traded Luka, and they missed the playoffs. Then they got Cooper Flagg and everything. So, if we're keeping track at home here, Western Conference Finals, loss, missed playoffs. NBA Finals, loss, missed playoffs. Well, if that trend continues, we're winning the finals this year. So,
well, if that does happen, I'll have to change my opinions on Anthony Davis, I guess.
Yeah, somebody asked me in my replies, it's like, well, if the Mavs do end up winning the championship this year, like, does that mean we forgive Nico? And I was like, no. You know what? If Anthony Davis wins, if he wins the finals MVP, maybe. But that's literally it's still skewed even if you do that, because you know, you got so lucky getting Cooper Flagg. So
guys, listen, there's no way to win that trade. There's no way, because we gave up Anthony, or we gave up Cooper, or not, Jesus Christ. We gave up Luka straight up, and we got Anthony Davis straight up. We didn't get Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg straight up. That was not part of the deal on the record. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, this video that I'm currently showing on the screen, this was back in like 2023, I think. Like 2023 or right at the end of 23, I think is when it was. And, you know, they posted this video. It was this guy that just older dude sitting at a table. Look at that.
That's insane.
Wearing a 2026 Western Conference Champions Dallas Mavericks hat. And they're like, oh, we found a time traveler. So,
well, in order for that to happen, we're going to have to figure out our inability to score pretty quickly, because the past two games have kind of been rock fights. We're also going to have to figure out, you know, our guard depth situation. Yeah, Cooper Flagg being transferred to the one was interesting and fun and all that, but I still think we need added depth and on the perimeter. And number three, I may not have a number three right now, honestly. Cooper Flagg's got to be better than I think he is, I guess. And I think he's very good, but he's got to be like LeBron good, I guess.
I think he's going to be great, dude. He's already exceeded my expectations.
This year, he's got.
I think he's going to be great this year. Look, okay. I don't know if you listened to the full pod from yesterday, but I straight up said I would not be shocked, but just based on what I've seen so far with him playing limited preseason minutes. If he ends up playing like 35-plus minutes a game, I wouldn't be shocked if he's good enough to sneak his way into the All-Star game this year.
I expect that. I think
he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he can do enough with the way the roster is now to overcome what the Western Conference is and propel us to the NBA Finals, because – it's not going to be AD that gets us there. It's not. Did AD ever get the Pelicans there? No. Did he get the Lakers there? I would say that was more so LeBron. Either way, he couldn't do it without LeBron.
Yeah.
I don't see him being the focal point. I don't think he can be the focal point and get us to an NBA championship. I think that Cooper Flagg would have to rise up and rise up really, really fast.
If Kyrie Irving is ahead of schedule, mm-hmm. like what we think he is, just based on what we've seen, and if he does come back midway through the season and it doesn't, you know, because some people come back from injuries, and even though they come back, they're not themselves until the next season. Mm-hmm. We kind of saw that with Jamal Murray with his last injury that he came back from. It's like he came back and he was on the court, but like he wasn't Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
But if Kyrie is ahead of schedule and he comes back halfway through this season and it's not one of those things where it's going to take him multiple months to look like himself again, if he comes back and he's good, like that changes the equation for me. Like then you're, you know, we can start talking about potentially making a run to the NBA Finals, especially if Cooper Flagg does the way I think he can in his first season. So that's what I'm looking at. But as of right now with Kyrie out, and I said it yesterday too, I talked about it a little bit, I'm not taking a stab at any of these point guard options the Mavs are currently looking at here in preseason and who they've looked at in training camp and all that. But Kyrie being out has just put them in a weird situation when it comes to the guard depth. And I mean, with AD's best position being the five, you know, being a stretch five, it just opens up so much stuff for the offense. You have to wonder do the Mavs need to trade Gafford and consolidate some of the center stuff to get a more established backcourt option? Or is that just jumping the gun with Kyrie being out? If you just wait for Kyrie to come back, are you going to be good?
See, Dalton, I'm a hater.
We all are to a certain extent.
I'm a hater. I'm still pissed off from last year, and it wouldn't hurt my feelings any if we traded Anthony Davis for a solid combo guard and maybe some draft compensation. I think it makes sense all the way around. I think – I'm not here saying Gafford is as good as Anthony Davis or Lively is as good as Anthony Davis, but – I think that Gafford and Lively can do the job of the five well enough to warrant trading Anthony Davis away for assets before he gets hurt and loses all value. That's my thought.
Here's my thing. I don't think I would actively seek out an Anthony Davis trade right now. I don't think I would, and I mean, you're taking a chance on him getting hurt at some point in the season, but yeah. I don't think I would actively seek it out right now. I would see how it looks during the first month or two of the season. But I will say this, if the Boston Celtics, you know, given that, you know, Jason Tatum tore his Achilles and he's out for a long time, pretty much going to miss this whole next season.
Yep.
You know, if they decide they want to further blow things up because they traded Kristaps Porzingis, they got Anthony Simons from the Portland Trailblazers. If they decide they want to just blow things up and they want to get out from Jaylen Brown's contract, I would trade Anthony Davis for Jaylen Brown straight up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would. And honestly, that wouldn't surprise me. Because there were murmurs even during their finals runs that whole dynamic of Brown and Tatum was not healthy.
Now, look, that doesn't solve any ball handling issues because, you know, Jaylen Brown
can't dribble with his left.
Yeah, he gets ragged on for not being able to dribble with his left hand. But as far as two-way guys go, and we've seen what he can do when he gets on the biggest stage in the NBA Finals,
he's a monster. No, Brown's really good. Brown is very good. And I think I'd do that.
Here's another one. I want to throw this. We're spitballing here at the end of this episode, but it's always fun. You mentioned Kirk earlier. He actually mentioned this in a group chat we're in the other day. Anthony Davis, close to the trade deadline this year.
I hope he lasts that long, but go on.
Anthony Davis for LeBron James, straight up.
Oh, irony.
Anthony Davis back to the Lakers.
Nah. I have some serious reservations about doing business with Rob Pelinka again.
Yeah, you get a 50-year-old LeBron on an expiring contract, and then you give Anthony Davis to Luka Doncic. Come on, DJ. Can't you see the vision here?
What is the vision exactly? Or are we just, you know, packing it up for a year?
And then, I mean, that would solve the ball handling issue, at least for this season. But past the season, it would just be a train wreck.
And, hey, after he retires, you know, that opens up a ton of salary.
Maybe so. That's the way we can get that second first-round pick that we didn't get in the Luka trade.
Maybe. That would be crazy. If they gave us LeBron and a first for Anthony Davis. Honestly, I think I would do that because that's crazy. That would be hilarious.
I don't know if Nico could do that deal in good faith, and you know, things have kind of cooled off. I mean, people are still upset, obviously, but things have cooled off considerably from how things were. And I don't know if you can do business with the Lakers anytime soon. And speaking of the Lakers, that's who the Mavs play in their final preseason game tonight in Las Vegas. So, in the Lakers, they played a game last night. What are we doing, NBA? Why are teams playing back-to-backs in preseason? What is this?
Back-to-backs that are far away from each other.
Back-to-backs in preseason games. What are we doing, NBA?
Is Luka going to play tonight?
He only played in the first half in Phoenix last night, and
He played in the third quarter.
Oh, he did? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I would expect him to play just a little bit, but you know, we'll see. If I was JJ Redick, I wouldn't play him.
I wouldn't either.
Meaningless preseason game, but they are in Vegas, so you know. you're in front of an audience that may not always be able to see you play. So he might throw him out there for a quarter.
Oh, he's going to be out there. It's called fundraising, Dalton. We do it for the league.
That's right. Hey, and then maybe if he does play, maybe we can get some more fuel for my Cooper Flag, Luka Doncic question that I asked earlier, which I'm sure will get a very warm and welcoming reaction from everybody listening to it today.
Well, are we talking about their first matchup? Because their first matchup, I've already made peace with what's going to happen. Luka's going to drop 60 on our heads.
If he does, I don't think it'll be on Cooper Flagg's head. I think it'll be on Anthony Davis's head, probably.
It won't be on Cooper Flagg's head, but he will get Cooper Flagg.
He'll probably try to get everybody else in foul trouble and get Dwight Powell in the game and then drop it on Dwight Powell.
Well, no, if Dwight Powell gets in the game, we're saved.
That's true. If he gets in the game, it's an automatic W because he automatic is our good.
Just don't put Hardy in the game. Just don't do that.
Have you seen how big that guy's arms are? Dwight Powell?
Yeah, man. He's hitting that.
People think those photos I put are photoshopped, and they're not. He's just that big.
Yeah, man. Lock in, and you can too.
It's crazy that his arms are that big and long, and he can't grab a rebound. It's crazy. Cleanly, I should say.
Dude, those memes are so good.
It's not a meme. It's real.
I sent you that that tweet that said he gained like 30 pounds of muscle or whatever. It's like, you know what you need to do.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, we'll see how that game goes tonight. Let's see. What do you think? Who do you think? I mean, it obviously doesn't matter, but what are you expecting from Mavs Lakers tonight?
I'm expecting Cooper Flagg to play probably two quarters. It wouldn't surprise me if they sat out certain players. Of course, nothing's been announced yet, but it's a preseason game. Look, I get it. We want to do. Yeah, it's so real.
It is. That is the real Dwight Powell right there. Look at that.
Crazy.
Anyway,
I just want to know what the reaction would be if someone actually saw a guy walking around like that. Like, that guy could actually probably tangle with a silverback gorilla.
Well, I'm just saying, you look at it. I mean, there's no Photoshop there. That if that's Photoshop, that's the cleanest Photoshop I've ever seen.
Well, then he is the answer to the age-old question of how many people would it take to take down a silverback gorilla? And the answer is one Dwight Powell. Because
Put Dwight Powell among those hundred and
he is the one. He is the chosen one.
Oh, all right, guys. Well, look, that's going to do it for us rambling today. I wanted to come on here. I wanted us to give Jason Kidd his flowers. He deserves the extension. I think the future is bright. It was looking bleak for a long time, but then a 1.8% chance winning the lottery and getting Cooper Flagg, that changes everything. That was literally the title of our following podcast, From the Lottery. This changes everything. Mm-hmm. And it does. And we're very excited about it. And Dwight Powell's still on the roster. So, you know, good things are ahead for the Mavs. But, guys, we appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Have a great weekend. Unless something crazy happens tonight, it'll probably be early next week before we do another one of these. Because this is already the second one this week. But after I took my 10-day hiatus a week and a half ago, I kind of felt like we needed to put out a couple extra ones anyway. So, guys, appreciate it. Y'all go like, rate, and subscribe. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Really helps us out, and we appreciate you for doing that. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, guys.